I mean, we just came out with our results from our 2024 program. We threw the book at it. We did soils, rocks, mapping, sampling, ground magnetics, 3DIP. And really, we come out with right in the right spot where we have the very, we get down into the top of the Seven Devils Volcanics, which hosts the Leviathan Porphyry Copper Discovery next to us. We've come out with a beautiful, cohesive soil and copper. It's a copper silver moly soil anomaly. It's a copper silver moly rock bed anomaly, and it's got a beautiful, very large chargeability anomaly underneath that. So really, everything we hoped to see from our work last year, we were seeing right now. We're seeing that one giant cohesive anomaly that really screams drill me.
Dean Besser, Zeus Mining. Good afternoon to you. How are you, my friend?
Great. How are you doing, Andy?
Doing well. Thanks for coming on. And it's very lovely to talk to you. Just so all of our listeners know, Dean and Zeus Mining Corp did not pay for this interview. However, I will make an announcement. They're going to be at our conference down here in Atlanta. And so we're looking forward to seeing you and meeting with you there. I also met with Dean. Steve and I both met with Dean up at PDAC. Very impressed with the presentation. He was one of the companies that we sought out. We are not investors as of yet, but that will more than likely change over the next several days. Dean, tell us about the company, a 30,000 view. What are you guys mining and what jurisdiction are you guys in?
Yeah, thanks. We're a company, a fairly new company. We started in 2024. We put three projects from Idaho in America into our company. Primarily staked for silver at the time, and then flash forward to 2023, a company called Hercules Metals made a massive copper discovery, led to one of the biggest staking rushes in America. One of our projects happened to be beside them, adjacent to their land package, staked for the exact same reasons as them and the exact same cartography. And boom, fast forward, we have an amazing copper target right where it should be, next to a major porphyry copper discovery in a new area in the U.S.
Yeah, if we can work that out a little bit where it's at, if you look on a map on your corporate presentation, you'll see that there are some big names on there. Hecla's right there, as well as Integra's right there. Comment a little bit, where are you in proximity to those? And is that what we're talking about as far? But they're copper. I mean, that's copper. So talk to me, where are you in proximity to those mining properties?
Yeah, we're about an hour and a half northwest of Boise, so all road accessible. Like I mentioned, this is a new area that wasn't previously known to copper.
Right.
Well, there were some younger porphyry intrusions there, but the reality is that they made a blind discovery in the younger stratigraphy overlying rhyolites there. And I mean, it's really exciting in that it led to one of the biggest staking rushes in America. Nobody really knows about it because companies like Barrick came in there and staked 5,000-10,000 claims. They staked for 14 months. They spent $20-30 million staking. It's really exciting.
Yeah, really exciting. And that's the thing is it's interesting to me because, and again, I'm very familiar with Idaho, mining in Idaho, which is considered to be the number one, if not the top, or one of the top jurisdictions in the world. But I wasn't really familiar with the copper play there, if you would. And again, maybe it's just my own naiveness, but I always just assumed it was gold and silver. So,
So this area was really known as a silver play. And
yeah.
I think a lot of people thought it was a VMS belt, but what I think most geologists believe now is that it's really an extension of that canal terrain that comes all the way down from northern BC. And maybe it wasn't previously recognized as being an extension of that belt that goes all the way from Canada through western US and down there into Cutty Mountain, because there are these younger Columbia flood basalts that cover a lot of southern Idaho, and they just mask everything. They're thick in places, and they really geochemically and geologically just mask everything that's going on there. So, where we staked was in with one of those erosional windows. So it goes down through the stratigraphy. But, I think that's really the current thinking for this area now.
Yeah. So it really begs the question, or raises the question, how exactly did you stake it?
I'm very curious.
Or can you tell that, or do you?
No, look, I mean, we're geologists, or I'm a geologist, and I have a group of friends. Some are financiers, some are geologists, some are businessmen. And, you know, we have a true staking syndicate. But look, when times are quiet, we get in our truck and we go around and meet people and look at projects and have geological ideas. And this is one of those things that we staked in 2021. And we staked it again for the exact same reasons Hercules had staked their ground, you know, with the chance that there could be a buried porphyry there. But obviously they made that discovery before we did any work. So really helped us put our foot on the gas. But again, it was staked primarily as a silver play. So we have these smaller silver deposits that are in the overlying stratigraphy and the volcanics above where the Leviathan porphyry copper deposit was found. And that's where people were working on in this area. It's Hercules Metals. It was then called Hercules Silver. And they were drilling their silver targets, and they were trying to put a global resource together for silver. But they had this very deep, large chargeability anomaly from their IP survey that they tested with one deep hole, and lo and behold, they hit the porphyry. And, you know, to date, they've never been able to drill out of this thing. It's looking like it's going to have the size and scale that we see in that Grinnell train, where we see these tier one porphyry copper assets. And that's what the majors are looking for. And Barrick had come out and said that they want to be a player in the copper space. And this was an opportunity for them to really grab up a whole new area. And they were very aggressive about it.
Yeah. Well, it can come at a really better time for somebody like yourself, with silver now well above 30, as well as copper. I want to say it was, last time I checked, it was about two, or it's at all-time highs. So correct me if I'm wrong there. So yeah.
It's like over $5 today. I mean, it's crazy.
It's screaming. It's also just, let me talk to my listeners here. Copper's probably my favorite metal as far as upside is concerned as of right now, just because of the supply and the demand dynamic here. If you're looking 5 years out, granted, I'm a huge believer in gold and silver, sound money, all of that, but just purely supply and demand, it's really hard for me to see copper going anywhere but up. But Dean, back to you here. Can you share, and if you can't, that's fine, but I need to ask, can you share really the plan now going through the end of the summer into the fall? And is there any news that you can share with us?
Yeah, I mean, we just came out with our results from our 2024 program. We threw the book at it. We did soils, rocks, mapping, sampling, ground magnetics, 3D IP. And really, we come out with right in the right spot where we get down into the top of the Seven Devils volcanics, which hosts the Leviathan porphyry copper discovery next to us. We've come out with a beautiful, cohesive soil and copper. It's a copper silver moly soil anomaly. It's a copper silver moly rock grab anomaly, and it's got a beautiful, very large chargeability anomaly underneath that. So really, everything we hope to see from our work last year, we were seeing right now. We're seeing that one giant cohesive anomaly that really screams drill me.
Got it.
And so obviously our plans are now, we're in the permitting stage for get our drill permits. And yeah, we're gonna poke some holes in this thing for sure.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that, the permitting process. Again, you're going through the permitting to get more drill permits, but then just so I know you guys are an exploration company, but walk me through the process of mine permitting, a timeline on that, if you wanted to take this all to a mine. And again, knowing full well that you are an exploration company. And you mentioned that you're right next to a lot of a road, so I'm assuming there's great infrastructure all around you.
Yeah, I mean, there's good infrastructure. I mean, I think the important thing to note about Idaho recently is, you know, within Idaho, the Speed Act, which is getting, we're already seeing that some of the advanced projects that are threatening to go into production here, like Perpetua and Integra and Liberty, they've already got a number of their permitting hurdles over the line almost instantaneously from him putting out that speed act. And then of course, you know, within the last week, just came out with a directive naming specifically copper as one of the critical metals that he wants to produce in-house. So as part of that, he's doing a number of things to speed up both the timelines for these companies to get into production and for permitting, because not only in the US or Canada, but really the whole world right now, the permitting, you know, to permit a mine is a serious undertaking. And, you know, we see these NGOs seem to get a lot more traction than mining companies do, which is, you know, it's always been a problem and always will be a problem. But, by initiating these acts, he's looking to speed this up so that, you know, he can put things into production locally. Buy local.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And again, talking to you and then also talking to my listeners and viewers, one of the most frustrating things for me as an investor, and I am an active investor, is you really want to buy companies right before or right after they hit. And then you want to buy them right before they go into production. The issue is because permitting can take, there obviously a lot of things can happen, but really the biggest issue is just the time to permit. You know, at best it'd be 4 to 5 years. At worst, you're looking and never get permitted, maybe 10 plus years to get permitted. And it seems like that has all changed. So that should make, I'm sure that's made you very excited about this, Dean. And then also it should make all investors very excited, especially with project here in the U.S. and if such a friendly jurisdiction as Idaho.
That's right. And back to your other question, you know, what we're doing is, and I think, you know, these, like you said, as an active investor, you want to buy at certain times and sell at certain times. Well, that's why companies that, you know, we're always looking at other opportunities. We want to have a number of projects in the pipeline so that we always have a reason to come into the stock, not just, oh, look, we made a discovery and now we're going to be drilling for 10 years and just going to be more of the same. So we're always trying to, you know, build that excitement and put more things into the pipeline.
No, that's great to hear, music to my ears. And again, I'm not as an investor as this video is dropping, but that more than likely will be changing in the near future. Steve, feel free to jump in. What questions did you have?
Yeah, Dean, you talked about different projects. Are you able to expound on what kind of projects you're looking for? What are you looking for that would excite you? Do you have any metrics that you can share?
Well, obviously, we're not, you know, I would say we're not going to be jurisdiction agnostic, so we're not going to be stuck to Idaho. That's a question we get a lot. Obviously, we love copper, and we're in the copper space right now. And you know, like Andy said, I also really love the based on supply and demand, the fundamentals for copper. Like by 2030, I don't see how copper doesn't just shoot the moon. So, and I'm not, you know, I'm not an expert on that, but there's a lot of experts that are saying, just not just me. But you know,
I'm being junior mining, not saying it's going to shoot the moon. Go ahead, Dean. I interrupted you. I'm part of you.
That's you know, I'm not being promotional at all. No, I mean, I think everybody out there understands that. But you know, obviously we love to find more copper projects, and we like to find things that, again, have a chance to have scalability and be important. But that being said, we're a junior mining company. If the right gold project fell on my lap right now, I would have to seriously consider it and go to my board and see if that's something that we wanted to do. So, you know, we're not looking far afield at anything weird, but you know, the main things, copper, silver, gold are all in our realm of expertise, I would say. And those are all things that we're looking at actively. So.
Steve, did you have anything else?
Yeah. Interested about your corporate structure, your share structure. You can talk about shares outstanding, diluted, fully diluted, and then, your management insiders, what percent does that consist? And are there any big players that you're able to share?
So we were a Haywood's spawned company, in that David Elliott and Andrew Williams out of Vancouver, and David Elliott backed us, and they backed me for, you know, basically all the deals I've been involved with throughout my career. They're really big supporters, and they love geological ideas. They love this, these kind of things where we had an idea, we staked it, then we moved it forward, and then, you know, hopefully make a massive discovery. So they love that kind of stuff. David Elliott's in the Mining Hall of Fame. So that's, you know, that's kind of the ilk that he comes from. He's the, you know, they would be our for sure our biggest shareholders. Our management board, you know, we just brought on Mr. Simon Clark, who's a good friend of mine, but also a colleague that I've worked for, with for years. And, you know, he's come from companies where he's, run them that had over $1 billion market cap. So is able to access that, you know, that credibility and currency, you know, to a lot of financial institutions. Management board, we're around 10%. And, you know, for me, it's my biggest single holding. And I bought all, like when we took this shell over, I bought all the escrowed stock myself. And just to send a message out there that, you know, we're not here to just pump the stock out. We're here to build a company and make something out of it.
Got it. Dean, is there anything you would like to share with all our viewers and listeners before we wrap up? Maybe what to look forward to between now and the fall? I'm assuming you're going to be drilling a lot.
Well, obviously we're waiting for those drill permits. We're in the acquisition, you know, looking at a bunch of acquisitions and you know, moving our board. We're actually looking to add some more people onto our board as well to bring some more beef on there. So as we bring these new projects in, down the pipeline, that we become, you know, a serious threat here to being a major, maybe a mid-tier company at some point. I mean, that's our goal. And I guess I should go back to Steve's question. He did ask about the share structure. Right now, we have about 65 million shares out, just over 90 million diluted. All of our original financing was done at 10 cents, our second one at 25 cents. We're trading above that today. And all of our warrants from the initial financing are all in the money. So we're seeing those every day. Actually, I just got an email while we're on this video of some people taking down their 15 cent warrants. So we're getting rid of that overhang. Putting some money in the bank for that. And then obviously that'll help to go fund our next drill campaign.
Fantastic. Steve, did you have anything else?
No, I'm just excited about what you're doing. I guess I have a little bit of a personal question is if you can tell us about Dean, who are we investing behind? And if you can tell us about your team and what we have around you, what knowledge you guys bring and why we should be excited about Zeus.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a geologist. I'm a boots on the ground guy. I owned a consulting firm called Apex Geoscience, which has offices in Australia and the US. And I was a partner there for almost 20 years. I left there about 8 or 9 years ago. I guess my claim to fame is I've worked on numerous deposit types in over 55 countries. So I've seen a lot of deposits. I've seen a lot of things from all the way from grassroots all the way to that are now mines that I've worked on. So that's the experience level that I bring. And of course, like I said, I just brought on Simon, who has more on the capital market side. So to bring on that experience so that we can take things forward. I'm a guy who just wants to, I don't want to have grassroots projects and be a lifestyle company. I want to find things and either good, bad, or indifferent, you know, develop a project or if it doesn't meet the criteria to be economic, move on and get something different.
That's music to my ears. Well said. Dean, how can people find you? Give us your website and your ticker symbols and where you're traded at.
Yeah, our ticker symbol is Zeus. And, you know, the reason we're Zeus is because Zeus is Hercules' father. So when, you know, when we took this project public, you know, we're beside the Hercules discovery. So that was a bit of fun for us. Our stock ticker on the CSE is Zeus, Z-E-U-S. On Frankfurt, we're Z-U-U-Z-F. And on the German exchange, we're 092.
Got
I'd
it.
Rather have been 007, but you know.
I will put all of this, and you're on the OTC as well, it looks like. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. OTC, Z-U-U-Z-F.
Got it. Excellent. So I will put all of this in the show notes. Dean, I want to thank you so much for coming on. We're really looking forward to seeing you in Atlanta. And we've been getting some questions already about you and people wanting to talk to you. So we look forward to that.
Yeah, great. Can't wait.
All right. Here's the care.